You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. You know, in the Bible, it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So, the Lord had me thinking about that for months. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, we could always speak about the experiences we have with God. If you press towards the mark of the high calling, you're going to experience heavenly things. You're going to be flooded with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. If you'll just sit down and pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ to you in a much deeper way. He'll actually reveal all of the stuff that He wants you to do. He'll give you your plan and purpose, and He'll help you and set you on your way. But until you're transformed, you'll always think you're wise and smart and you're full of knowledge. Until you're transformed into the love of God, until the love of God starts moving on you, you're in a bit of a dangerous position, because people get puffed up with all of the stuff that God tells them, especially about themselves. When God says, I want to use you for this, 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 when you start being used for praying for people getting healed, and they get healed, and put your hand on people and demons jump off them, and you know, and you put your hand on them and you pray over them, and all of a sudden they just turn into jelly and they fall in love with Jesus, and all of these things over and over and over and over again. You can get puffed up with all of that stuff. And you can think that you're really great, but really God's using you. He's the one that needs to be lifted up. But until you actually get your eyes off yourself, then knowledge puffs you up, and the enemy can always get you. You know, when I get people praying in tongues and getting them moving towards the things of God, first we pray over them and get all the stuff off of them that drags them down, and they've got freedom to move into the things of God. They don't feel guilt like they did. All of the embarrassment is gone, all the shame is gone, and they can run into God, and they don't have any fear of their nakedness, because all of the issues have been taken away. When they start moving into that place, until they actually start moving into the transformation of their soul, and they're no longer looking for the exaltation of themselves, and no longer looking for, look at me, aren't I wonderful? Until they move past that, they're in a pretty dangerous situation. The enemy tries to get them. The enemy tries to take them out. He tries to puff them up. You know, one of the first examples is Satan. He thought he was good. I mean, he was, according to the scriptures, was the most beautifulest creation that God made. An individual he made as a creation. He was beautiful. And he was perfect in every way until iniquity was found in him. And I often thought, what is this iniquity? Well, we can talk about it a lot more. But it actually starts itself in pride, exalting themselves above the knowledge of God, of the Father. And, you know, when we get full of the Holy Spirit, we start to think that it's all about us, but it's not. It's about Jesus. So if we pray further and further, and we worship, and we effectively worship and get into the presence of God, He transforms us, and He puts His hand over us and protects us. And He guides us and brings us into a protective place. You know, we sing songs, we run into the Lord. He's a strong and mighty tower. His banner over me is love. All of these things are true, but, you know, we're our worst enemy. God wants to protect us and look after us, but all we want to do is just get everybody to say how wonderful we are. You know, every single person that Donna and I have dealt with has to go through that same problem. They all have to go through, there's false humility, and that's another form of pride. Oh, look, I'm just so humble. I follow Jesus. And really, they're just proud. They're very prideful that they're so humble. it's just a circular thing. So the best strategy is to not run around in circles telling everybody how wonderful you are, but sit down and pray in tongues. You know, I get a lot of people when they start moving into these things, I say, listen, sit down, have a cup of tea, and just pray in tongues for maybe 3 months, 6 months. See what happens. God will start transforming you. You'll have a war inside you first before you start warfaring over everybody else and their problems. The war will start with you first. And a lot of people, they don't want that war. They would rather warfare over other people's problems than their own. And really, you can't effectively walk in the Lord unless you've warfared over your problems, over the imperfections that you have. You can't effectively warfare over other people because the enemy will come and get you. You can't, nobody gets out scot-free. Nobody. Everybody has to start with them, get the beam out of their eye before they can get the little speck out of someone else's eye. They need to judge themselves first through the lens of the Holy Spirit, through righteousness. That's the first pillar. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness is the first pillar. And when you start getting right standing with God, when you start getting right practices, when you start thinking and doing the right thing because you're being led by the Holy Spirit, then peace comes, right? And then that peace is the peace that passes all understanding. That peace is powerful. The enemy can come upon you and say, you're wonderful, you're the greatest. But you'll know that you're not. You're nothing without God. And he has all of the bases covered. You can't do a thing without him, without the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And you know that to be a truth. And you have your safety in that. So the enemy can't coerce you out of that place of righteousness, because you have peace and then you have joy, and it's all through the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God, or one of the attributes of the kingdom of God, is that you pray your way into a place of righteousness. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus starts working on you and transforming you. It's really simple. It's not really rocket science. Once you start praying, God will start to show you the operation of the kingdom of God. He'll give you understanding of how things operate. He'll show you about protocols and how to stay within the boundaries of the protocols. He'll show you about divine headship. He'll show you how that the Father is the head of Jesus, and the man, he's the head of the woman, and Jesus is the head of man. So it goes woman, man, Jesus, the Father. And if you understand that divine headship, you'll operate within that and you'll start to see stuff happen. The things start going all haywire and they start getting gummed up. It's because usually we've actually got all of the ducks not lined up properly. We've got all sorts of problems in our life because we haven't understood how the kingdom of God works. One of the things that I've noticed when I pray for people, you know, I take notice of all these different things they have that happen. I ask them lots of questions after I've ministered to them, and it gives me understanding. But, you know, some things are just, they keep popping up over and over again. Unforgiveness is a really big one. Unforgiveness, offenses, right? So people get offended by things, and they hold aught in their heart, and then the enemy starts working on their mind and their imagination, telling them how horrible that person was, and then they start having a pity party within themselves. The enemy moves further into their lives and starts taking ground in their life, starts influencing their thought patterns. Before they know it, they're on a spiral downhill. All of a sudden, sickness comes upon them. And then they've got sickness and aught in their heart, and they're angry at a person. And they start thinking about, that person, how bad they are, and they should be dead, and they should be chucked off a cliff, or whatever they could imagine in their little mind. And then all of a sudden, sickness starts coming upon them. And sickness that brings them unto death cancer, all this stuff. We just get them, we lay our hands on them, we get rid of all of the stuff off them, and we get them to forgive. Because when we pray for them, we take the voice of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, we put tape over his mouth, and he sits, he can't say a thing. And then we minister to them, and then we get them into a place where they can forgive, because the Holy Spirit starts moving in their life, starts convicting them, starts softening their heart, and they forgive. And this is from the heartfelt prayer. It's not just a superficial forgiving thing. Oh, I forgive them. No, they cry, and it's really heartfelt, because the Holy Spirit's moving on them, and the enemy's being gagged up, and he can't say anything. He has to shut up and sit down. He can't put his two bobs worth. He can't put his bit into the equation, because we've bound him up and told him to shut up, and he can't have any input while we're ministering to these people. And then they forgive from their heart, and all of a sudden the kingdom of God opens up to them, like you see in movies where the clouds just move apart and the sun shines in, and they just, all the burdens just run away. That's ministry, because the enemy came and tried to throw them into a ditch, but the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, just fixes them all up. So that's all we do, and we just get full of God. We just listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and then we just follow that through. That's how it works. So this is basically how it works. We'll say, when you put your hand on somebody, it's not because you want to do it, it's because the Holy Spirit has told you to pray over that person. Right? Jesus, when he spat on the ground and then picked up the mud, made spittle out of it and made a muddy stuff and put it on the blind man's eyes. It was a physical act of obedience from the Father. The Father told him what to do. And then he did that. And then the Holy Spirit moved on the situation and opened his eyes up when he went and washed them. So two things happened. Jesus did a physical act of obedience. He did what the Father told him to do, not what he thought he should do. And because of that, the kingdom of God moved in, right? And the Holy Spirit moved in and healed his eyes. And the guy who was blind, he had to do a physical act of obedience. He had to get up and find his way to the pool and wash his eyes. And because he did that, the Holy Spirit opened his eyes. So Jesus did a physical act of obedience by making the mud and putting it in the guy's eyes. And the Holy Spirit moved on that man, right? I mean, what did he say? Go to the pool, wash your eyes, and you never know, God might just heal you. No, he did it. He said, go and wash your eyes. Now, the guy, maybe he didn't even tell him about healing. He just said, go and wash your eyes. I mean, this guy, something happened. He went and washed his eyes. And his eyes were opened up because he did the physical act of obedience as well. He did what Jesus told him to do. And you'll find that a lot of time. You know, the Lord will say to me, this person needs to forgive. So I'll say to them, you know, you need to forgive this person. So the Holy Spirit has told me that I need to tell this person that they need to forgive. And they say, yes, and they start crying because the Holy Spirit's moving on the situation. And then I start praying for that person, and I start leading them through a little prayer of repentance and forgiveness. And then all of a sudden, stuff leaves them. Then we start praying over them, and they get healed. You know, there's the blood. The Lord has shown me so much about the blood and how it works. So if you hear from God, and then you use the blood to cleanse things, then they have no shame. They have nothing to answer for. The enemy, the accuser of the brethren, has nothing to say. And then healing occurs inside and outside. There's formulas that the Lord has shown me, but they're not cookie-cutting formulas. I don't use them over and over and over again. You know, I use many different things, but I use the same things. So, I mean, lots of times I put my hand on them. Sometimes the Lord will say this to them, and I'll say this to them, and I'll say that, and they'll break down and start crying. And the Lord was, all of a sudden, he will start, drop on me, the anointing will drop on me, and I will have love. I will stretch my hand out in love, because the Lord is moving through me, and that his glory is on me, and I can feel him and his presence, and what he feels towards that person is in me. And I put my hand on them in love, compassion, and then God flows through me and they get healed. That's how it works. Physical acts of obedience, that just brings that brings the presence of God. So physical acts of obedience in faith. I mean, watch Jesus. He spits on the ground and rubs dirt in this guy's eye. What's that going to do? Well, I know Jesus would have thought, he would have known that this was a continuation of the thing that happened in the garden, where man was created and he was formed from the dust of the earth, from them, and God breathed on that. So Jesus spits on the ground and makes the dust into spittle, rubs it in his eyes, and recreates the broken stuff that should have been performed or should have been formed in that guy's eyes when he was a baby. But something happened and stopped that. But Jesus just went through the creation process again. And he did that in faith, right? And then the man did it in faith. He went to the pool and washed his face. Jesus didn't give him a whole lot of theology. He just said, go and do this. And he went and did it. It's pretty simple. The blind guy had to go and wash his eyes. Right? He wasn't going to sit there and just beg for another 3 hours with mud all over his eyes. Jesus told him to do something that was practical. Go and wash. And he went and did it. Sometimes we'll say to people, listen, you need to have this, you need to be led in this prayer of forgiveness. And they say, okay. And then they start asking the Lord for forgiveness for hating this person, or a husband, a woman might, her husband's done her real bad and all this stuff and really hurt her. And then when she asks for that prayer of forgiveness, and I start leading her through that prayer, all of a sudden something miraculous happens. Everything breaks in their life. They get healed from inside, not outside, inside, and then they are set free, and then they can go and worship God free from the burden that the enemy's put on them. So, you know, that's physical acts of obedience in faith that releases the kingdom of God, that releases the kingdom reality in their life. So I hear from God, or do I speak it? Either way, whatever the Lord tells me, right? And then spiritual reality starts to work in their life. Spiritual reality starts to manifest in their life. Now, I can't just say things, anything, and just make it all up, and then the kingdom just comes and floods into that person's life. I have to wait on the Lord, have to wait, what is he wanting me to do or say? And then when that happens, then the kingdom of God floods in. So I wait on God. Every time I go out on the street, I don't even think about looking for anything. The Lord taps me on the shoulder, so to speak, and says, see that person? I need you to go over and speak to them. Sometimes he tells me stuff about them. Sometimes he just says, go over there. So I go over there. Maybe I've got stuff and I'll say to them, listen, the Lord's told me that, you know, you've got this problem and this problem. And that person will break down because the kingdom of God floods into that person's heart because I operated in an act of obedience through faith. And then, not blind faith, not just going up to anybody and just saying, hey, the Lord wants to speak to you. No, physical acts of obedience. I went over and I spoke to the person. And then the kingdom of God flooded into their life because I was faithful to the instructions from the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing happens, he tells me more stuff. I speak into them, into their lives, and then more stuff happens. And by the time, you know, 5 minutes has gone, we're having a Holy Ghost party on the footpath or in the shopping center. It's that quick. And Don and I laugh about it. We've got like a 3 minute ministry. We see a person, we go over to them, we speak to them, and all of a sudden the kingdom of God floods. Angels turn up, we can feel them. We can feel the angels start to gather around. And I look at those people and I say, "Can you feel that?" And they go, "Yes." it's just nice. I don't have to do anything except get full of God. And then when God wants to send me to do something, I obey through faith and I do what he says to do and I speak what he tells me to speak. You know, Jesus said, "I only do what I hear and see my Father do." That's it. Well, I do the same thing. I don't go off doing my own stuff, trying to make things happen with my own stuff. I wait on God. Now, people will come up to me and say, sometimes I'll say in a church, "Will you pray for me?" And I'll say, "Okay." Now, because they've come up to pray, ask me to pray for them, they're moving in a physical act of obedience through faith. They're coming up and asking me because God has told them to come and see me. And I can feel the presence of God come over me instantly. And I know that they've been sent by God. And I know that everything's going to be all right. Healing's going to happen. Something major in their life is going to happen. The kingdom of God is going to flood into their life. It's not just some random thing we just make up and hope that God turns up. No, we're always being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you do that successfully, you'll see so much of the kingdom of God manifest around you. So get full of God. Wait on him. And then do what he tells you. Okay? He just tells me, go and lay hands on them. Okay? Now, after being used so many times by that, if the Lord did tell me, I would know if it was the Lord. Okay? Right? But people who do these things off the cuff from the get-go, from day one, I think they need to sit down and pray. And they need to get rid of all of those lies or those misrepresentatives which call themselves demons, telling deceitful things to people. You know, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit first, then you need to do the things through the leading. But first things first. First thing is sit down, get rid of all the junky stuff out of your life, get full of God, and then he will start to move on you. He'll start to speak into you, and you will be led by him in ministry, wherever it is, whether you're on stage, out in the street, speaking to somebody at the house, having a cup of tea, whatever. But the first things first. First, clean your act up first. Then you can help the kingdom of God flood into other people's lives and get them fixed up. That's the way it works. So you wait on God. You wait on God for the instructions. And if I see somebody standing on the footpath with a big sign on them and the sign says, "Please tell me about Jesus. I've been fasting for 2 weeks." Right? And I need to know about Jesus. Would somebody please tell me? If God doesn't move on me, I won't say anything to that person. You might say, "That's really strange. Why would you do that?" Because I only... Not sometimes, not most of the time. I only do what I see and hear my Father do. That's it. That's where I walk. Okay? If you want to go and speak to that person, praise the Lord, go for it. Okay? But I only do and see, I only do the stuff my Father tells me to do through the Holy Spirit. That's it. I don't do anything else. It took a couple of years to move into that place. To not be led by my own humanity, to not be led by circumstances, to not be led by my humanism, but to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I've found that every time the Lord leads me into something, the kingdom of God turns up, something miraculous happens, and it doesn't dud out. It doesn't just misfire. everything happens. And it's amazing the stuff that happens when the kingdom of God is when you're working with the Lord. You know, in Acts chapter 3, it talks about Peter and John healing a lame man who was put at the temple gate daily. So he's born lame, and he's put at the temple gate, and that's where he made his money. And Jesus would have walked past that temple gate many times. And, you know, he didn't heal him. Why? Because the Father was leaving him for John and Peter, so that 5,000 people would come along to the Lord. So Peter and John come along, and they stretch forth their hand and raise him up, and he stands up. And all these people come running, and they were amazed. It's interesting, but when they walked into the temple, there was a part of the temple called at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And then when they went in, they come into an area called Solomon's Porch, which is called Solomon's Greatly Wondering. And that greatly wondering means astonishment. You know, so God left the miracle of astonishment for Peter and John so that 5,000 people would be astonished by the power of God, and not by the power of humanity or something. Oh, that poor lame person. You'd think Jesus would have healed him. No, 5,000 people got saved because of that. Because Jesus listened to the Father, and he did what the Father told him to do. So there's a scriptural answer to that. Be led by the Holy Spirit, and you will get the biggest bang for your buck. That's how it works. You work in your own humanity and your own ideas, and you may do good things in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But be led by the Spirit. Be led by the power of God. Be led by the revelation. And you'll see marvelous things happen. In the Bible, it says in Mark 16, "And they went everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following." They didn't just go anywhere and do their own stuff. They went everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with the signs following. Okay, whatever signs there were, healing, people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, people getting delivered from oppression and all of these things that mess their life up. But it's really simple. If you understand, if you take the time to sit down and pray, get full of God, the Holy Spirit will teach you how the kingdom of God works. He'll teach you about the protocols. He'll teach you about headship and divine headship, how it lines up properly. He'll teach you about how the Trinity works. And that's what we're going to talk about one day, is the Trinity, how the Trinity works. So it's very simple. Sit down, pray in tongues. It doesn't matter who you are. You need to start at the first place. You need to warfare over yourself first, before you can warfare over everybody else and get them delivered, get them set free. Okay? That is the only way it works. God has set that law in motion. Okay? You can't judge other people's situations until you've judged yourself through the lens of the Holy Spirit. You can't get the beam out of other people's eye or the little speck out of people's eyes until you get the beam out of yours, until you can see clearly. Then you can judge all things, because your judgment will be true. It won't be tainted by the enemy's input. Okay, so we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out, if you'd like to support us at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.